Welcome to the Other Marketing Guys. My name is Simon Elke, and with me in the studio I have Martin Kahn. Hi, how are you, Martin?
Hello, thanks for having me again. I'm actually great. The weather is a bit weird because it feels like it's winter, but it's just autumn, and I'm really confused today. It's dark and moody here in Denmark.
Does it feel like winter?
I would expect this to be winter weather, but it's autumn. It's good that it's not raining.
Okay, but it's like 14 degrees Celsius. It's not winter. Winter is like minus 14.
No, it's just the way it looks, actually.
Oh, yeah,
just
okay.
The way it looks and feels to me.
No, it looks... There are still leaves on trees.
Well, I'm just telling you how I feel about it. Yeah, true.
The foreigner.
the foreigner who has no idea.
All right. So, yeah.
What are we going to talk about today?
I had an idea because we started talking about news, but for some reason I messed up in being prepared. And a lot of the times we just end up small talking about stuff, and I think it's actually fine.
Yep, I really like the format when we start discussing some ideas.
Yeah, because just take the plunge and do the whole rabbit hole analogy.
Did you say take the plunger?
Plunge.
Oh, okay.
Like,
dive
in.
Dive in, yeah.
Do the whole red pill, blue pill matrix and just get in deep.
Yes, break some concepts.
So, do you have questions this week? Or is it just, you said you had some exciting news.
Well, it's one of those deep topics, actually. Do we have any agenda or do we just roll with it?
I have no sponsors or anything. So if you out there are working in a company who has an email list, we are offering a sponsorship in exchange for a shout out in this email list. And you'll get a link from the website as well. So if and when our website grows to be an influential pillar of the industry, you'll get a nice great link for you.
So actually we can maybe just spiral out from this one. Link tiering. Yes,
so like second tier, third tier, and so
exactly
on.
Exactly. This is maybe something a lot of people haven't realized, but so I was diving very deep in the weekend. Well, actually it's funny because it was at a party. Everyone around me was drunk and I was bored as fuck. So I just started like reading some stuff and I started thinking about like different concepts. But basically, I got shocked once again with link tiering. I've heard it before, but never really focused on it. But some people say that there is this concept of how close you are to an authority page in Google's eyes. And I'll explain. Basically, Google says that they use seed pages to sort of start the crawl. Let's say you're in Slovakia and there is in Google Slovakia and there is one of the very big websites there. They would use this website as a seed website, and it really matters something like the proximity of how many clicks it takes Google or visitor to reach your page from that very big page. And that could be a very strong ranking signal, actually. And there was a guy that commented on one blog post that I read that said almost every website that ranks, I'm not sure if it was page one or position one in our search engine in Google Slovakia or Croatia, something like that, has a link from that website.
Yeah, you can say that in all search terms.
Okay.
He can't just like do all search terms in a whole country. He means all who ranks in a certain niche.
Maybe. It was a very short comment. There were no specific, nothing specific explained. And I believe he didn't pull hundreds of websites of data just to do that.
Millions of websites. Slovakia, it's just tens of millions.
Exactly. But in my eyes, it makes sense. Have you heard of Google's reasonable server algorithm? Yeah. It kind of makes sense. I mean, reasonable server has other aspects as well, but it kind of makes sense that you would have one seed page that is sort of like You know, for example, back in like 20 years ago, people used to have a lot of home pages.
Mm-hmm.
So when you open, you wouldn't end up on a blank Google page, but rather on some start page like yahoo.com or something like that.
Yeah, or startpage.com, I think. Actually, yeah. And iGoogle, I loved iGoogle.
Well, once again, sorry?
iGoogle.
iGoogle?
Yeah, I don't even know what it is. This, no. Yeah. Oh, I think they killed it in 2010 or something, 2012.
Mm.
It was like, do you know RSS feeds? So at some point before, like, social media was the big thing,
mm-hmm.
to follow blogs, outlet, news outlets, and so on, you actually did this RSS feeds either in your like email provider or mm-hmm. in like an RSS hub.
Okay.
And I had like iGoogle turned on, and when you open that, you had like the Google search bar in the middle, and all the way around it, I have all my news feeds.
Okay, and that's pulled from the RSS feed.
Yeah, that was so nice.
Okay, that makes sense. This like, how was it? There was Alt Top or something like that, mm-hmm. like content aggregators. Yeah, it like that?
It still exists.
Okay. I mean, I can see why it makes sense. And I think this is probably partly the reason why Google would consider something like that. Like if you have a big content aggregator that has access to a large portion of the web that literally builds the web in a way in that country or that location, you could take it as a... Or maybe not. Okay, so it shouldn't be like make or break factor, right?
Mm.
But it could be a good signal to Google that
this is famous. This is a great topic because this is also like the question of cause. What do you call it?
Cause and effect, or
cause or effect. I think cause in Danish we have a it's like when Brian Dean does these gigantic
guides or what?
No, the statistics. Oh, also, right. Href does this, and Moz,
Neil Patel
and
does it as
SERP.
Well.
Yeah, what do you call it? SEMrush.
Yeah,
you can't really tell from the numbers is if something is the cause or the if effect. It's an effect.
Yeah,
so. We have never actually. You can only make a study showing. I really need the word for it because it's mm-hmm. it's. Do you know the graph with like people drowning in the pool and Nicolas Cage movies?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a guy who took like graphs.
Yeah, isn't it Morten Munster? Or
no, I think doesn't think it is it Danish.
Well, okay, I think.
Oh, okay, I've just explained. I know
both of them.
Yeah, oh. There's a guy doing this. I think it's internationally English.
Hahnemann, Daniel Hahnemann.
Okay, who took like some statistics and just paired it with another statistic where the graph is the same. So there is like one I remember were number of Nicolas Cage movies produced that year and people drowning in a pool.
Yeah.
So the graph aligns like perfectly. On a curve. So this is an example of these two numbers doesn't have anything to do with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can actually use the same argument that for all of these big search analysis there's been made like Brandine has been doing them like for years like these analysis of pages ranking number one the word count I remember like between one and two the word count is 2,100 something so you don't know if this is you don't know if they rank because of it or they are this length because they are the time on site is longer because of the length. You don't actually know what the cause is.
Mm-hmm.
You can just see what
the effect. Yeah,
yeah. You can't know exactly which one of the parameters.
Yeah,
like does the thing for your website. So all we do in SEO, like our company, we have what do you call it, a mantra of in an SEO technique is where we just say, okay, we don't know what works, mm-hmm. so we just do it all.
Yeah.
So we don't know if links is the biggest factor. No mm-hmm. one actually knows. We don't know if quality content is the biggest factor. We don't know if the content length is the biggest factor. We don't know if we don't know if original images. We don't know shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if we do them all, it works.
Yeah. But I think even Google doesn't know itself because it's a black box. It's an algorithm that thinks for itself, more or less. Yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be like someone could like just look inside a code and just like, okay, we need to turn this knob today just to put a little more emphasis on like page speed. So like, remember to turn the knob. I just take the conversation between some engineers. Okay, Bob, today you need to turn the knob for page speed a little bit higher because it's been a year now. We need to speed up the sites.
Yeah, today is Friday and people are tired, so just make it faster.
And like going into the engine room, like, okay, we need a new algorithm update. It's just like, can you turn on the expertise knob? So we need people to be more experts. So turn it up to like 20.
SEO world goes crazy. Yeah. Everyone's like, oh, algorithm change.
Oh, it's a new knob. They haven't told us about that knob.
Crazy. Okay, I agree. And yeah, but see, that's a problem. Like, how do we test then? How do we verify if such claims are true? I mean, it could very well be just the simple fact that maybe purely because your page is there, it's faster to Google to find because it crawls it rather than just because
you
get a link from there.
And also, like, the cause and effect on links. You could have, if you do take the biggest websites, most trafficked websites in the world, like WikiHow, they don't build links, but they have thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of links. And they get links because they are number one.
Yeah.
So they don't build links to be number one. They get links because they are number one. And many websites, the biggest and the best websites in the world gets a lot of links because they are number one, because they are the best resource.
Exactly.
So think about it. Think about what if in all this time we have been wrong about link building, and it's not because your page it's not because of links you are ranking. It's because you're ranking you get links.
I have a problem with that. How do we rank
you
without links?
You can't rank shit without with links. You can't. You can't take shit and just link build to it.
Yeah, but the opposite could also be true. You can have the best piece in the world, and then who's ever going to hear about it if it's a very competitive keyword?
Yeah, but then you'll get links if it is the best piece in the world, and you do content promotion, like not link building, but content promotion, because you have to take like other marketing factors. I'm not saying it's because it's the best piece in the world. It's a combination of being the best and people are hearing about it.
Okay, then I agree on that statement. I can see being true.
Because if you do like, if you have like, I have a client who's growing, blazing fast in search terms. It's like really great, but they are simultaneously growing on YouTube. They are doing the YouTube part. We are doing like link building and content stuff on the website, and just like they are embedding it and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they are putting gasoline on the fire. We are like we put links in. They put the YouTube in, and then they have someone who transcribes the videos and so on. It's like woof. It just because they're doing the content promotion. There is no technical SEO factors from YouTube to the website that explains why they grow so fast, and the website is not really like technically astounding or
perfect,
or even pretty or great like text or a great setting or something. But the mixture of people, he's a character.
Okay,
the guy on YouTube, he's not like vanilla. He's not everyone for every. He's not everything for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I would say like there's probably more people who don't like him, but that's why some people would love him. And this is a great combo. If you dare to do it, I really think that this could work really great on YouTube. You can't just go to YouTube and be something for it, someone. You have to be, you have to divide and like divide some, make some waves. Like somebody needs to
stir the pot.
Yeah, somebody needs to not like you because then somebody would like you.
Yeah.
It's just like it's two sides of a sword. What you say, like if you don't say something that somebody hates, then you don't say something that somebody loves.
Loves, yeah. That's actually, I think it's a very easy way now, kind of like advice, because I've experienced the same for how you can build quote unquote some element of branding, regardless of what it is. It's like you don't necessarily have to stick by the things you love, but just because negative emotion is so strong, you can just say the things you hate, and people are naturally going to start filtering themselves out, and the ones that love you.
I'm not 100%. I think you do need some you need to have some opinions. But I follow this guy on Twitter. I've been following him for like 10 years, like or 5 years. I don't know. But the last like 2 years, he's been a grump.
Okay.
So I'm considering unfollowing him because he's just like, every post is just something he hates. It's just like, why don't you like focus on the stuff you love?
Yeah, I mean, of course. It's like, if you're just there to hate, that makes complete sense that you don't want to follow these people. But at least in the beginning, like when you form yourself, when you... when you're finding yourself,
yeah, you have to have some opinions or something. Like today, exactly. We did a podcast episode on my Danish show about fake sites selling links, and it was about. I don't think this is an international or American thing, but it exists very much. Of course, it exists. Probably, yeah. In Denmark, we have like these.
Splogs.
What do you call it in ordning? Like in
don't know.
We have the eMAG. We have like Shoppers Guarantee trusted symbol, something you can buy.
And the one, the green packing, something like that.
No, it's called eMAG. The symbol. Okay. Like this is a proper organization, like where you can buy the access as an e-commerce company, saying, okay, we need for you to verify us.
Okay.
And that's okay, because they have help for if you get screwed by a company as a customer who has this e-symbol, help from the lawyers of this e-company.
So it's like a union.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, buyer's union. It's it's a buyer's protection.
Or consumer, I guess, protection.
Yeah, consumer. But we have all these pages that like do the same model, but without any. Stuffing. without any substance.
Okay.
So we have a website that translates to climate profile. So on this website, in Danish called Klimaprofil, where you buy a spot on this website, and then you get a logo for your website saying
the badge. Yeah.
I'm have a climate profile. This costs you equivalent to 250 dollars to get accepted to this site, and it's basically like they do nothing.
Yeah.
It's just a website.
Yeah. But they say
it's like the $1 million website. Have you ever heard about it?
No.
Okay, one guy needed to like collect some money for some project, maybe some debt or a student debt or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
He made a website with like 1,000 times 1,000 pixels, and you could buy one pixel
Wow.
for $1, and it went viral at that time, so like just in the .com, something like mm-hmm. pre.com, mm-hmm. and he sold out all the Pixel and made $1 million.
Okay, that's fucking genius, actually.
That is genius, but you're paying for nothing.
Yeah.
And just like this climateprofile.dk, you're paying for nothing. And we have another site called stopspam.dk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You pay a yearly fee to get a badge on your website to say you're a part of StopSpam. But they do nothing with the money. They are not stopping any spam. Actually, on the website, they're saying, we are here to fight websites that's just been put into the world as spam websites. And that's so meta, because this website is actually spam. What the...
But I think there's two factors. First is a link.
Yeah, they do it because of the link.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's fraud.
With this? I mean, it depends. Because the other one is, again, a business owner's self-bias, I think.
But you know the no CO2, CO2 website. Yeah, the climate profile is just a copy without like paying for the CO2 emissions. Like no CO2 is.
All right.
Yeah. So it's a copy of no CO2 in Danish called Ingen CO2,
yeah.
where they pay for some, depending on how much traffic you have, mm-hmm. you pay like these CO2 mm-hmm. quotas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the climate profile is just a web page where you get like your link from.
But then there's also the bias that business owners have, and it's like, if I have this badge, I'm more trustworthy.
Yeah, and I actually did a test. I don't know if you read my test from like 2014 about Trustpilot.
In the book or what?
No, it's I don't know if it's in my book. No, it's one of my. It's a blog post I wrote in like 2014, went quite viral in like a Danish sense, mm-hmm. but and I updated it in 2015.
I haven't seen.
It's me and like three other. Really quite known individuals in Denmark. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to bother saying their names because it makes no sense in this context. We tested like the Trustpilot stars on the site.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys actually tested it against... It was from a time where you only shopped via one device. Mm-hmm. So like these A/B testing tools was actually easy. Like really great because you had no... like split in the attribution and so on. Mm-hmm. So when you tested something, it was like almost fact.
Nice.
So he tested this against a badge he just made up.
And what happened?
And the badge was better because it says like said like something like it maybe exaggerated
mm-hmm.
like safe store and this in you know in the silver shield and like three stars and the shield so.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know this because America, if you do all, you know all these affiliate one page mega sites and the course, if you ever stumble upon on Facebook on these mega long form post and then it sends you into a, no, they actually don't even have a link. But because you pressed the see more, you mm-hmm. interacted with the post, and then they retarget the interactions of that post with an ad, with a click-through ad.
Yeah.
And then they send it to you these long-form, very long-form pages. Yeah. Like the opposite of Sam Ovens, which is just a video and a button, but the long-form. And they have like all these made-up badges.
Yeah. 100% money back guarantee, 30-day.
Yeah, and it's. I even think they would do something like certified Cleveland company address. Yeah. Just like, this is Shakur.
That's why I buy.
Yeah, and like a PayPal logo. Yeah. Because it's so hard to get a PayPal account. Oh, yeah. Like, this has PayPal. It's that's safe.
Yeah. Approved by PayPal. Yeah. It's true. But I guess the internet also evolved like since then. I mean,
these pages exist like
you're right.
Really. Yeah. Just and we are not even getting showed in I think if you're an American you get stumble across these pages all the time because I think some of them doesn't even like exclude us from targeting in Denmark.
Yeah.
But talking about like what works and what doesn't work, we have we're like right now testing like the sites with link building and no link building. And right now on my screen, you can't see it from where you sit. I have two websites, one of them with link building and one of them without link building. You should see the statistics of these two websites. They are exactly the same.
I want to fucking see that.
Go up, up and see it, because it's
just a second.
You're very, very comfortable right now in my couch. But take a look at these two graphs. They are as much alike as two graphs could ever be. They are so similar. Yeah, it's just a different niche. The one who got slightly more impressions is the one we did not do link building as much because we started on doing it. No, the other one is the one with the least amount of link building. Yeah, this has the least amount of link building. The other one has the vast majority of content. Yeah, they start. No one knows that, you. That's we did the going back for the sniper approach for the content, like doing what people haven't read about or haven't wrote about.
But you pretty much used the same strategy, right? Like small targeted questions, so on and so on. And how long did it take you to see the hockey stick?
They are at. It's, I think we're in the middle of third month.
Fuck.
How many hours? I don't know yet, but they are going. I have a site that is eight months ahead of these, and they are following it. They are actually overtaking it because we went more
balls
like,
deep.
Yeah, like balls deep. Yeah, like $20,000 dollar balls deep.
Wow.
Yeah. I think calculated. No, not 25. 15.
How many posts a month do you push?
We pushed like hard from the beginning. So we just. I think we posted around. What's it? 50, 60, or 70 on each. Like in a very short amount of time. The one has. One of them has like 130,000 words, the other one has 75,000 words.
What the fuck, that's more than a book.
Yeah, so we went in deep, but it's also because we did like 150,000 words additionally to the one who's ahead of them.
Whoa.
So
okay, but then I have a question. How many words per post do you average? You
know? 1,700, 1,500 something.
That's not even that much.
No. They have some, you know, the pillar posts, the pillar of their industry, like 3,000 words, 55,000 words posts between them, but majority is like 1,500.
Wow, nice.
So they are going to take off soon. I can see, I have actually like also in one of my tabs and other things I have done, I have like the trajectory from the other side. I can just see them going through the stages.
Wow.
And now I have evidence. Oof. I have evidence to make sure that my in future I have no sense in not investing in this.
But is it purely because of blogging or how?
100%.
Okay, but let's say you have a website that cannot, not that it cannot blog, but you have a client that cannot blog. What do you do then? Do you optimize? Let's say they want the front page optimized and ranking.
Do you then want what? Front page?
Yeah, you want the front page, which is, let's say, the where they sell the products. Or you have a product page, like a service.
Yeah, I would do everything revolving around that service. And all the pages I would link to your money page.
Okay, so blog posts that answer questions about the service and then just link to the money page. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And then it's about the percent of the percent.
Yeah.
So if you get like 5% to click through to your page, then it's, and then 5% conversion rate. Then you have 5% of your 5% conversion rate. So I can't really count calculate that in my head, but you, then you know like, okay, this much traffic I need to like grow. That's why this numbers game does not work in Danish.
Yeah.
It's just too small.
There's no traffic,
because I actually have one of my posts gets like 6,000 visitors each month.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Ahrefs and all the tools say it has zero search volume. So that's fun.
Damn.
So, yeah. But this is, yeah.
After the show, I'd like to analyze the site.
Yeah, but what were we actually talking about? We're talking about these fake scam sites, and I think actually Google is doing quite good with the Eid thing. Mm-hmm. When I just saw did we talk about this before?
Every time.
Yeah, but did you talk about this before we turned on the mic or after? I don't know, but I stumbled across on LinkedIn a post by a guy stating that 43% of all clicks in the Google search results page goes to the Google ads, and only like 8% goes to organic results. I'm like, no, no.
Yeah.
And I went in to the comment, and I think translated, I wrote something like, yeah, no, that's not true. Mm. And I just put in like 4 links for resources for him to read, and I included like Spark Toro from Rand Fishkin and Jump Shot, I think it's called, and some other sources, and also we have a government site who did like a survey of users' ad blockers' behavior in Denmark as well. I put in. And he defended his position in saying, like, oh, I meant only buyer's intent keywords. So I'm like, tools can't even try to comprehend the amount of search volume behind keywords. How the effing should no tools know what the intent from the person behind the money behind the keyboard is? No tool, so you can't like do. He's like, this is where he does the FMA part, the from my ass part in House of Lies, first season, first episode. He just made up statistics. Like, no, here's a made up segment of some made up numbers that works for me, and this is the statistics. I just can't. This is in my arena, right? Okay, he's posting and he's a newbie. Like he's like 1 year in the business.
But just a question: does he sell Google Ad services?
Yeah. So and that's he's stepping into my arena, and I'm like, this can't happen.
Mm.
Think about all the time this happens in politics and in health and in money and so on, like. People are saying, okay, you need to invest in this because this is going to boom and so on. And just somebody sitting on the other side of the screen. This is not even a real company, though. Or like, you need to stop eating meat and so on. Or you need to start only eating meat. Or you need sugar is not even unhealthy. Or fat is not even unhealthy. How the darn do you know what's true?
I think we're actually on a very... how do you call it, like on a roll of hating on this podcast, because this has, again, in my opinion, a lot to do with the cause and effect. I'm reading a book right now that's very much on this topic. So you have a politician that goes and says, oh, so crime rate has reduced by X many percent, or people now are way worse than 10 years ago. And then when you think about it, that's not really true. Like, there's so many data points you can compare and
yeah, you could also like derive, do your own segment. Yeah.
Once again, sorry.
You could do your own segment.
Yeah, exactly. You just morph the data to however you like it.
So it's like going in through the, okay, everyone just likes buying groceries from this expensive, like we call it a delicatessy store, like from luxury item. Everyone likes it. At least we're like everyone in my part of the city. So you can't really do the segment because if you have the right segment, every data would work for you.
Exactly.
So if you say like, okay, everyone just loves the big Dom.
The what?
The Trump.
Oh.
Donald. Everyone just loves him. Can you say if you put in the right segment of people. That's true. Exactly. Yeah. So that's, he can just post online that 43% clicks goes to ads and shopping ads in his segment of his keywords in his made-up statistics. Because that's like, okay, everyone goes to the kindergarten. It's the same.
At some point.
Yeah. So it's like if people say, no, I'm not in the kindergarten. I actually have a job. So like, no, but everyone through like 3 to 6 years old, they are in the kindergarten. So I meant only them. Yeah, but you can't just say everyone when you have your own segment. So that is exactly the same.
Yeah, true.
And no one eats meat anymore, at least in this part of town. Yeah.
In the vegetarian restaurant, no one eats meat.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's I have seen that in the news. Oh, fuck. Those crappy journalists going to, like, Morten Münster. He's actually the one who does this called confirmation bias.
Yep.
Yeah. Where you...
Just a quick plug, please. He has a really nice book. Debbie from Marketing. He just translated it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Is it called? What is it called?
Yeah, in Danish, it's Jure from Marketing. Yeah. In Danish, he translated the same, but replaced the name. So I'm afraid Debbie from Marketing has left for the day.
Okay, that's fucking okay. Awesome book. In Danish, it's awesome a pillar book of the industry.
Yeah.
Okay, so read that. It's about confirmation bias. There's a story from the book I remember where I don't know if it's him or if it's somebody he mentions, but they are buying a house, and they just moved to a part of the town that's objectively like a bit worse or a bit worse location, but they can't afford like the better location. Mm-hmm. But when they move there, because they had made that decision, the human mind just works this way where you confirms yourself and this is the right decision. This is the right decision. So okay, this was actually better because now we can just only have to walk this distance to this, and you find all the good things in it. If so, of course, some people like works the exact opposite way, but I think that's called a depression. Yeah. But yeah,
nice.
But
do you have enough eat in the industry?
I don't know. But that confirmation bias is like. Yeah, the one you said, it's not, I'm not even sure that that's a fake example, like going into a vegetarian restaurant and asking if everyone loves the vegetarian food.
Mm-hmm.
Because some journalists in Danish television, in the Sucky, like these, we have this evening news where they do like one big, a great story, something, and they just find like 5 random people and... Okay, this in Denmark we have like a group, especially like elderly people who doesn't like foreigners.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if you know that, but there is like these 60, 70 years old and older. They just don't like change.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do this called Vox Pop in Denmark, I don't know if it's an international word.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So they go because this is like something they had to record during the afternoon. They go down to the in the middle of the city center of the street and ask people if they agree. But the only people in the street these days are like pensioners and people without jobs. You can't do a segment of the this just doesn't work. There's just been a study saying 1/4 of every Danish want all foreigners gone from Denmark.
Yeah,
right. But it, as it turns out, it's been done by a company called YouGov, and it's the survey is an online survey where you can participate and win a free pizza.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
So they get the data from that kind of people who wants to spend the time on pulling out a survey to get maybe a free pizza. I would never do that. And maybe, I think that the most part of the knowledgeable like people would not spend a second doing this.
Yeah, it's true.
So they have like segmented it into like what I call like the low resource part of all the all those who maybe can see through this and eat up all this hate propaganda on the news and so on. Yeah, because if you actually only watch the news and think all in the news is true and think all in the news is facts, then I can see how some foreigners might seem very much like only criminals. Because we have like big parties in the politics, a lot of politics, but they wanted to seem bad.
Yeah, so, exactly.
And if you don't live in the capital city, it all seems like, okay, they're just shooting each other in the capital city, and it's just all of them is just like
hundreds
foreigners
of killings.
And,
Ricky Gervais actually has a, I don't know, I watch a lot of stand-up comedy, and he has exactly a bit about that. I think it was something about religion, where he's like, that many, like 50% of people believe that the earth is 5,000 years older. He's like, yeah, but the survey was done on a phone. So if you're stupid enough to answer a survey on a phone, then, you know, it's like, this is your sample size. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's
you can never, you can never have a survey that's true.
Yeah, true.
Also, because of the bias, we have this exit polls. A party in Denmark where people don't want to say that they are voting for them.
What do you mean?
So in exit polls, they always like underperform, and in reality, they overperform. Because people will, if they get asked, they are not proud of voting for this.
Oh.
So on the way out on the exit polls, you get asked like from student or something with the phone, can you put in what you vote for? And it's anonymous. I did that twice. Mm-hmm. Just like press the screen and actually, he could just...
You can just press as many.
I don't know what the validation in that is, but good. Yeah. So
I'll just turn away. You do you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we spiraled once again. Like,
Not
that we had an agenda, but still.
I don't remember what we were talking about.
Just confirmation bias. Today it's the hate podcast. That's maybe what we call it.
No, it's not. It's actually hating of hate.
Yeah, true. Okay, yeah. It's in a good way, hating in a good way.
Yeah.
See, that's like, say something you hate so that you can find people that love
it. Common ground.
Yeah.
So, just to clarify, we don't hate foreigners. You are actually a foreigner.
Yes. Yeah, please, let's clarify that one. Well, here's something fun. It's once again about the big G.
The
ghouls, yes, and they're a very smart politician, John Miller, yes. So it's a funny thing. Okay, I'll just say it. Basically, someone asked him if actually I want to hear your opinion as well. What do you think of dark theme websites?
Oh, like you have a dark background and so on,
like Reddit in the afternoon.
In the afternoon, do that change?
Yeah, it automatically changes.
Okay,
beautiful.
I think that it has to come back to the internet because I have a dark, what do you call it, dark theme on my phone or on my laptop as well, and I don't think it's a part of Windows yet, but it's iOS has been implementing it in it's implemented in the Apple TV, it's implemented in my laptop and in my phone, so I need at some point like the apps and websites to follow because I would like for my phone to be more gentle for my eyes.
But is it the night light you mean or the dark theme? Like, does it change the screen to black or does it just put the orange filter on it?
This is Slack.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it is a dark theme.
All software where I can change it to a dark theme, I have it on Skype as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have it on Twitter. I do it because I think it's more pleasant on the phone.
Yeah, 100%. Messenger has it as well, by the way. I don't know if you know.
What?
Messenger has it as well.
Oh.
Yeah. You have to send someone an emoji of a moon and you're... Okay, that was when they launched it. Now you can just go in the settings. That's right. Now
but you have to do it on all the chats, right?
No, just one. You send one person and then... But now you can just find it in the settings. Before it was you send someone a moon and then... Yeah, it was a bit ridiculous. But yeah, just while you're looking for that. So someone asked, like, how could dark theme affect SEO? And like John Mueller said, exactly kind of the same. Like he said, he's a big fan of dark themes. And I agree, it's really nice, especially for like at night when you're just looking at something. But he said, potentially it could be a factor. I mean, he said also that he doesn't believe it will be. But it's again, like one of those things like user signals, you know. If enough users have... If enough devices have dark theme mode enabled and they're looking for a dark theme website, it could potentially be a UX signal that people do want to see a dark theme website.
Yeah.
But I guess we're still a long way from
anything. That's like not that. Websites. I think it's like traditional content websites. I think we're talking about more of
apps or
something where you'd spend a lot of time doing like social stuff. I'm just going to test if you do the press the, you know, the read button on an iPhone. It has like a one button to turn this into a clear text.
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm just going to test if they make it dark. But if
commence testing,
we need to have some sort of knowledge from Google if they can show us how many people are in dark mode.
Why? What do you mean?
What? I don't know how to do this. Google, what? Yeah, they changed this.
Okay,
I don't know.
Couldn't you just set up like a custom event in analytics? If a button is clicked, like...
Yeah, if you have like two themes to change between, you could, but you, it's not sure you have two themes. But if you could like have something where you could detect if I don't know how to do this. Sorry,
it's all right.
Ads.
Yeah.
All right. But if you could say like, okay, 10% of my visitors have dark mode enabled. I hope it gets sent through the browser somehow that you have dark mode enabled. That could be cool, because if you see like a trend in your website, maybe you have a lot of, and I'm being categorizing a people group of people. But if you have a lot of maybe gamers staying up all night visiting your website, then I think dark mode would be preferred. And if you see, like, if you have an audience where you see, okay, 17% of my audience has dark mode enabled.
Oh, I see what you mean.
That's quite a lot. And maybe not, the other 83% doesn't even know how to enable dark mode. So now I'm going to test out maybe some split testing with dark mode. But I have seen more than a few split tests of web shops, like e-commerce stores, having dark themes, but like because they had like the immense lounge feel, and just removing the dark background and changing the font like dramatically increased the conversion rate. So I'd never think that you should go dark on an e-commerce pages. Store, unless it's Black Friday.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, this is a fun story, true story. I've been a part of like doing Black Friday on a website.
Yeah.
They did not want to put anything on discount or like lower the price. They did not want to be a part of that. What we did, because they did not, they want to sell it at the normal price. They had a brand to protect.
Okay, but then a question.
They changed the whole theme to black. I mentioned nothing about Black Friday. They sold three times as much that day.
What? That's growth hacking right there.
But we don't know again if it's because of this, or it's in despite of this because we don't know if people were just there's a syndrome where people just save all the money to Black Friday and they just see if the website has any offers, and then okay, they don't have any offers, then we got just going to buy anyway. That could be actually,
but do they get tons of traffic?
Yeah, it's a real well-known brand in Denmark, actually.
Could you run up AB, maybe?
We didn't. This?
What?
We didn't.
Okay.
I just told them to trust us, and they did.
Damn.
But we didn't know if they would had like four times as much.
Yeah, of course.
So we just like put it on, and not like radical black all. It was just like we just all the black and the black bar in the top, and some all the green buttons were turned black, and so on. So it's just like, yeah.
Damn. Interesting. See, that's what I want to talk about, not just read out the news. Like
real stories. Exactly. Hashtag real stories.
I have two major things, huge things, but one of them is even bigger than the other one. Yeah, major. Major things reporting. But one of them is really big, and I think we won't have time for this time. Maybe we can discuss it a little bit later. Also, because I'm actively working on it, and I would like to hear your opinion and just talk about it. Like, it's actually something we spoke about before. It's link velocity, but I'm not going to say anything more. I'll come up with something soon. But the other one is, I have a question and I have a statement. I'm going to say the statement first, and then I'm going to ask you a question. No, I'm going to ask you a question first. What do you think of location-free living? Because you're a person with a family, and...
What does it mean?
So, basically, you have, like, two or three houses in, like, lower economically... you know, developed countries, something like, let's say you have a house in the Philippines and one in Denmark, and you spend half a year in Philippines, or you spend half a year there and there and there.
Why?
Okay, so you do need the story.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of support this idea, because it's not that I'm anti-gov, but it's...
I think there's going to be a globalization of the entire, society, either that or a fragmented, like right now we're in a state that either we're going to be more globalized or we're going to be more fragmented. Like, you see the UK doing the Brexit thing, and people could either like group together or grow farther apart.
Fuck, I think I made a mistake by going deep into this. Maybe we should pull out while it's time, because there's so many things for this.
Okay,
I'm just gonna give the news then. There's a new law in California, actually, that threatens freelancer
journalists. I've heard
journalists.
About that.
Yeah. And this is one of the things that kind of scares me. Is like, okay, let's say I move to California, I become a journalist, for example. Like, I'm not going to do that, but let's say I do. And the state just randomly decides to push a law.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think location-free or location-independent living is important.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but that's just not... with two kids, just like...
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, they need like firm... For my sake, some people like nomad living, but I want them to have a great education and great upbringing. So for me, it's like we have the best system in the world, I think.
For kids, yes, 100%.
And for like healthcare and so on. Yeah. So for now, I'm okay with the taxes. But who knows where I'm at when I'm like, I'm only like turning 30 in like next week.
Oh,
so,
damn.
Yeah, so congrats. I have, I'm only turning 30 now. I have been like, entrepreneur for several years and doing okay, and I have like a kid turning 4 and one to like just turned 1 year old, so who knows in 20 years where I'm at. I don't know, because one part of me would like to have like a getaway place for this time of year.
Please do get one.
from September through March, like the cold half year. But I would also like to see the world. I think I might like at that point like go on long trips just to random places and then have my home base and then just be less home. but have a base. I like to have a base.
I mean, it makes sense. It's like you always have to have somewhere to go home.
When you have a family base, I think a base is important. I actually like support having the same base to get back to always. Okay. So something to call home, also for my kids, for something to call home, exactly. And something to call their, what do you call it? We have a
All the memories are.
What?
Where all the memories are.
Yeah, it's quite very small, and especially if if we have any American listeners, my house is teeny tiny.
Yeah, maybe to American standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Okay, so also I'm asking because you blog about traveling. Mm. So this is one of the things, like, you probably thought about some of the things, but it's interesting insights. But doesn't it scare you? Okay, let's say tomorrow the state says you cannot do online marketing because a lot of people have been scammed in it. So
I would just move my business.
Okay, so just move the company or?
Yeah.
Like Sweden, for example, or what?
Yeah, legally move it.
Okay.
Not Sweden, not Germany is closer.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an hour drive.
Yeah. And you can buy a cheap company car. Boom.
That's just like very cheap.
I mean, it's not that it's cheap, but it's cheap compared to here.
Oh, it's very cheap.
Yeah, it's very cheap compared to here.
I remember driving through Berlin, and it's just like I saw a sign with a brand new BMW 3 Series, and I was just like, "Is this number true?" It's just like, wow. I remember it being like 14,000 euros or something. Wow. And I'm like, what? How old is that car?
Three times.
If you do like 14,000 for a BMW 3 Series in Denmark, it's 10 years old.
Yeah.
So it's like.
At least.
We have, they actually like lowered taxes on it, but. Recently a rule, you could just say every time you buy a car in Denmark you pay for three cars.
Yeah,
so now it's like 2.5.
Yeah, it was 180% I think tax when I moved in here.
Yeah, plus VAT.
Yeah, okay, then
25%
easy 200. wow.
Yeah,
and also one thing I didn't like about the car thingy here is that recently after I moved in they had a law that allowed EVs, electric vehicles, to be registered without, or at least with a much lower...
None. They are facing it up to the... It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and now they bumped it up because they saw, I guess, maybe how many sales there are. Yeah. So, we're missing
the out. Last month, they had no tax on the electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. I think they sold more Teslas than they have ever since.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was like sense. I think it was something about 3,000 Teslas was sold in December, and the entire year afterwards it was 29 or something.
Wow!
Because now a Tesla in Denmark is over a million kroner.
Mm-hmm.
It's divided by 6.5, something. So it's just too much.
That's $1 is 6.5 kroner. So yeah, just for those who listen.
Yeah.
By the way, I have 25 minutes before I have to catch a train.
Just okay.
So we have to wrap it up soon, I guess. Let me see. What do we have more? Google, by the way, just launched a new course, like animated SEO video series. And I was thinking, all right, so who should we follow? Whose course should we follow? Because everyone has a course nowadays and everyone focuses.
Google, like a paid course?
No. It's a free course, but it's kind of like...
It's animated.
Yeah, on YouTube.
As a cartoon.
Something like that, yeah. It's the Google robot thingy that they use.
Okay, yeah.
But it's just... I don't know what to think about.
We need to see that. But yeah, I don't think... remember, social media, follow us on the tweets. We're called... At other marketing
guys,
and we do the hashtag other marketing guys, but with not the. I think the Twitter handle is shorter, maybe only other marketing.
The Twitter is other marketing guys.
And the hashtag other marketing guys. We'd like to connect with you. We know we don't have like the biggest following yet.
Yeah,
but at some point, this maybe is something that you're listening to maybe in a year. exactly. or in 2 years, and this could be your first entry into our journey together. So hashtag us up at Twitter, like other marketing guys.
Yes.
And remember to rate, review, and subscribe. We do we have any more? No.
One thing.
Okay, one thing.
So we were talking about The Office, I don't know, and your name came up, and one of my colleagues said, oh, is that the other marketing guy? But he didn't mean it like with the podcast.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's it for today. Like, bye.
Bye.